Hello, my dear friends. You're on the Military Summary channel, and today we will discuss the situation in Ukraine on the 24th of March of 2023. Today we have a lot of very interesting updates, so let's start. And first we're going to start with the Black Sea and Crimea. Today the Britain Air Forces continued their intelligence operation above the Black Sea. They were flying above this sea while using one intelligence aircraft under support of two Eurofighter Typhoons. And during that flight, the Ukrainians started their missile operation over the Crimea. As a result of that attack, there was few explosions inside of Sevastopol. At least the Russian sources reported that. And the Russians haven't provided any video or photo confirmation, but I believe that these two operations, like intelligence operation above the Black Sea that were made by the United Kingdom and the missile attack from the Ukraine side, are tightly connected and they have the same roots. So we'll see what kind of decision the Russians are going to do. But the only thing that I mentioned, and it's very interesting that the United States of America took a decision not to use their own flights, their own forces, to do this reco. So first, as we see, the United States took a decision to send the air forces of United Kingdom and to take a look what is going to be next. And as we can see, those three airships left this territory without any problems from the Russian side. Another important update or interesting piece of information coming from Sumy region. And this is very interesting. As you can see, there is an icon above this area. It's like some kind of air forces. Furthermore, if we take a look at the Russian sources map, there are also a lot of icons in this area. Also another icon of the airplane. The Russian sources and the Western sources confirms that the Russians made another air forces attack in this area. They were attacking this area, and the most important is that the Russians were using guided bombs. And the thing is that the Russians haven't used guided bombs massively before the special military operation. Furthermore, during the special military operation, the first area where the Russians were using the guided bombs was Avdiivka. So we can say that the real first confirmation of the usage of that bomb was Avdiivka. And we know the result of that usage. The Russians were trying to attack this area of Avdiivka and the industrial zone on the north, because this is the most fortified position from the Ukrainian side, and guided bombs that the Russians are able to launch before 40 kilometers of the target, of course, are able to deal a lot of damage to the fortifications. And as a result of the Russians' attacks in Avdiivka, this area was completely ruined, and that allowed the Russians to start their counter-offensive operation, encirclement operation of Avdiivka, and now we can see the result, that the Russians have almost completed the encirclement of this town. And the thing is, and the strange thing is, that the Russians took a decision to use these guided bombs in Sumy region, very far from the front lines, very far from the combat line. And this is very expensive, and this is very... Now, these guided bombs are priceless for the Russians, because guided bombs, they're very powerful, and this is some kind of game changer. You can send these guided bombs, when talking about the Russians, before 40 kilometers to target, so this is a very big distance. And of course, the Ukrainians don't have such air defense forces that can hold or stop the Russian air forces to do this. But the Russians chose their target, Sumy region. One more time. As a result of previous usage of those guided bombs, the Russians have almost completed encirclement of Avdiivka. And the reason why the Russians took a decision to use these bombs on the north of Sumy is very interesting. Very interesting, and we know that everything is possible in the future as a result of unblocking operation of Ukrainians. And who knows, maybe the Russians have already started preparation of their offensive operation in this area. Anyway, we'll see. The Russians are saying, and the Ukrainians confirms, that as a result of those guided bombs attack, the Russians use at least 10 bombs, and the effect of that those bombs were pretty effective. And they reached their targets, as you can see, ruined buildings in this area, and so on. Now, let's talk about the front lines, and first let's start with Donbas and South Donetsk front line. As you can see, when talking about Avdiivka, there are still heavy clashes around this town, and the Russians continue reinforcing and improving of their positions along the railroad and the north of Avdiivka, the Russians continued their offensive operation between the groups, Ukrainian forces that located in Toninka and D9's block, trying to get as close as possible to Lastochkina. The Russians continued clearing operation in the vicinity of Kamyanka. If we take a look at the Western sources map, we see that according to this map, and this map confirms that the Russians continued their improvement of their bridgehead on the north of Avdiivka, and the Russians, according to this map, we can say that the Russians changed their focus and now they're trying to attack the Ukrainians in direction of Achertina, in direction of Keramik. And this operation, we can understand this operation because, as we know, the Ukrainians have accumulated and have collected a lot of forces. And of course, now they have a very powerful army. We discussed the previous two videos about the Ukrainian army in the vicinity of Bakhmut, around 80,000 soldiers. And the thing is that the most dangerous part from this situation for the Russians is now that the Ukrainians are able to redeploy this powerful army from one front line to another. So imagine yourself that at some certain time the Ukrainians took a decision to redeploy their 80,000 army from Bakhmut, let's say in direction of Zaporozhye. It will take them less than a week to do this. So this is the reason the Russians understand that, at least at this stage of operation, the most dangerous place and the place that they need to destroy anytime, every time they start any offensive operation in this or that direction, they need to take control or destroy the railroad stations, exactly the places that Ukrainians are able to use for these purposes, like redeploying and taking off tanks and armored vehicles from the railroad. And as we discussed, Achertina is the main logistics center, not just this logistics center. This is the area where the Ukrainians are able to take the reinforcements that the Ukrainians can redeploy or send from other front lines. So first the Ukrainians need to send the reserves in direction of Pokrovsk using the railroad, of course, and after that, using the same railroad, the Ukrainians can send the reserves from Pokrovsk in direction of Novogradovka, and after that in direction of Achertina. Then these reserves will be taken off from the railroad and sent to the combat lines in Avdiivka, in Berdych, in Orlovka, in Keramik, and so on. So the Russians understand if they are able to block Achertina, this town that located in the north of Avdiivka, if they are able to establish physical fire, any kind of control over the railroad in this town, then it will force the Ukrainians to start, let's say, all this process, logistic process, to move all this logistic process from Achertina in direction of Novogradovka. And this town, as you can see according to this map, is located very far from the combat line. Of course, not so far, like not like hundreds of kilometers, but anyway, it will reduce the Ukrainians' logistic possibilities. And of course, every time the Ukrainians send their forces, they will be forced to make all this situation in the vicinity of Pokrovsk, and then the Ukrainian army will be forced to get to combat line on their own feet, and so on. And of course, it's time. And it's the pressure time. Furthermore, as you can see, there are not much roads, and it is much more easier to attack the Ukrainian forces on the ground than to attack them along the railroad. So the Russians are doing everything perfectly. So the Russians are pushing in direction of Achertin and Keramik just to force the Ukrainians to step back from this position and to reduce their logistic possibilities. When talking about the area between Lastochkin and Berdych, there is no progress in this area. The Russians haven't published any video or photo confirmation of any progress. There are very heavy clashes. Furthermore, the Minister of Defense of Russian Federation reported that during the previous 24 hours, as a result of heavy clashes, storm operation, artillery and air forces attacks, the Ukrainians lost 380 soldiers, 12 armored vehicles, including one tank, and two artillery system Gvozdika howitzers. And mainly those losses took place in the vicinity of Bakhmut and in the vicinity of Avdiivka, around these two towns. So there are very heavy clashes. The Russians reactivated their movements, and we'll see whether they are able to achieve some success or not. Now let's go to Bakhmut and let's discuss this time, like 400 time in a row, this very important town. During the previous two videos we discussed the Ukrainian forces that accumulated in the vicinity and around this town. Let's return back one more time to this map. This map shows the disposition of Ukrainian forces. This is some kind of a salad of Ukrainian forces. It's like big burger of Ukrainian forces that located very tightly, very close one to another. And as we discussed, there are around 80,000 soldiers. There are, as we discussed, four tactical groups, another one Bakhmut that located inside the town, another one on the north by the name of Karpaty, two groups on the south, Adam group that located on the south of Chasavyar, and the final one is Azov that located very to the south of Bakhmut. Furthermore, there are around 220,000 army reserves from Slavyansk to Druzhkovka, and furthermore there are around 60,000 army forces that located between Slavyansk and Bakhmut, and this is some kind of unblocked storming forces. The main goal of them, their main goal is to be the first wave of unblocking operation. Of course, the majority of forces from these from this group will be reduced because they are going to be the first wave, and the second, the third wave according to Ukrainian plan are going to return control over the northern part of Bakhmut and to push the Russians on the east side of Bakhmut River. So we understand the plan, we see the number of Ukrainian forces in this area, but furthermore, as we discussed, the Russians report about the heaviest losses of Ukrainians on Bakhmut and Artyomov's front line, 380 soldiers during the previous 24 hours. But now today let's discuss about the Russian forces that located in this area, and let's try to analyze and let's try to find an answer to the question whether the Russians are able to stop the Ukrainians and to push them back and to hold the bridgehead on the north of Bakhmut. If we take a look at deployment map, this map shows that the Russians have their 106th Air Assault Division that located right exactly on the north from Bakhmut. There is 11th Wagner Battalion Tactical Group. There is just 6 Cossacks Motorized Regiment. There is a Wagner's Tactical Battalion Group, another Wagner's Tactical Battalion Group. And there are forces on the south as 3rd Motorized Brigade Berkut, and also another tactical battalion group. So, of course, if we take a look at this map and if we will just calculate the number of icons from the Ukrainian side and from the Russian side, we see that the number of Ukrainian icons may be 4 or 3 times more in comparison with the Russian. Now let's take a look at another map and just to try to analyze one more time. We see the number of Ukrainian forces, and now let's calculate the Russian forces one more time on this map. 6 separate Cossacks Motorized Regiment, also 10th Guard Motor Rifle Division, another Wagner Group, 108th Cossack Kubань Kazak Air Assault Regiment. On the south, we can find 106th Guards Airborne Division and 247th Air Assault Regiment. From this perspective, almost every single map confirms that when talking about the number of icons, we see that there are less Russians in comparison with the Ukrainians. But we need to understand that the Russians and the Ukrainians operate with completely different types and of units. When talking about the Ukrainians, they try to work and they try to control or to manipulate with brigades. And when talking about the Russians, mainly the lowest type of unit they're trying to use is tactical battalion group. Furthermore, they're using mainly, let's say, like regiments and of course divisions. So we know that one division can include up to 6 or even more brigades. So don't mention and don't count the number of icons if we calculate the Russian forces according to the type of unit we can see on this map. I must say that there are not less than 50 or 60,000 of the Russians. So from one side we see around 80,000 Ukrainians on the left side, and on the right side around 50,000 of the Russians. And if we try to split the Russians, some sources are saying that there are around 30,000 of Wagnerians and something around, and just around Bakhmut, and something around 10,000 of reserves in the vicinity of Popasna. Furthermore, don't forget about the regiments and about divisions. So I can't tell that Ukrainians have like significant superiority in manpower and so on. Yes, they have almost the same number of forces, or maybe a little bit more, 10 or 20,000 soldiers more. But you know that these 10 or 20,000 soldiers can solve and can change the entire picture and can be the game changers. Everything depends on many factors, like situation on the ground, like the what kind of the hills, like supply, support, logistic, and many, many other. Very difficult to determine who is going to win this battle, and very difficult to understand the real goals of the Ukrainians and the Russians. Furthermore, the Ukrainians reported today that they took a decision to move the possible counter-offensive operation from the end of March till the middle of April. So today is the 24th of March, and that means that the Ukrainians, according to their official information we received from their sources, are going to start counter-offensive operation somewhere just in 3 weeks. So maybe there are going to be no Bakhmut by that time. Maybe this is another speculation and another fake from the Ukrainian side, and now they're trying just to like to cause problems and to disorganize the Russians and so on, and they will attack earlier or something like this. Furthermore, today the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, adopted a few laws about the special operation in Ukraine, and he created military authorities of Severodonetsk and Lysychansk. As you can see, these two towns are under Russian control, but the Ukrainians, Zelensky, took a decision to create military authorities. He, by this action, he's trying to say that soon we are going to return back, the Ukrainians are going to return back these two towns. So this is like some kind of action from his side. The Ukrainians are trying to break or to ruin the Russian focus and to force them to make mistakes, and after that they will strike. As I told you in the previous videos, the Ukrainians are going to strike and they will strike. The question is where exactly they're going to do this, and another question whether the Russians are able to stand and hold the Ukrainian attack. Now let's go further to the front lines. Now let's talk about Lyman front line. The Russians are saying that during the previous 24 hours, as a result of clashes in this area, the Ukrainians lost 125 soldiers, 3 armored vehicles and 1 artillery system. And I believe that the level of losses, as you can see, this is the highest level of losses since during the previous 2 weeks. We discussed that first the Wagnerians took its operational pause in the vicinity of Bakhmut, and after that the Russian forces in Lyman, who made some kind of support operation, they followed the forces in Bakhmut and made their own operational pause. And as soon as the Wagnerians restarted their offensive operation in Bakhmut, inside the town, trying to storm, trying to close the hat of this cauldron, as you know, there are very heavy clashes exactly in particular on the south part. There are less clashes on the south in direction of Fromova, and to tell the truth, I don't see any reason whether the Russians need to continue their offensive operation, because they have already established physical control over the road between Chasovyar and Fromova. But when talking about the south, there are still a lot of things to do, and every square meter on the south gives the Russians multiply benefits in this area. Furthermore, there are very heavy clashes in direction of Ivanovska. The Ukrainians are doing counter-offensive operation one by one, trying to push the Russians as far as possible from this road, and the Russians are doing the same from their side. They're also attacking the Ukrainians. I believe that yes, there was a lot of clashes in Mariupol, in Kryminaya Forest and so on. I think that the clashes for Ivanovska, the clashes for this town, we can compare with one important town that we saw at the beginning of special military operation. I believe you remember my famous and my favorite town during the special military operation. And of course, I'm talking about my favorite Toshkovka. So Ivanovka is the same. If we compare and if we can analyze and compare and to find something common between operation for Bakhmut and Solidar, Lysychansk and Severodonetsk agglomeration, Toshkovka, this small town, is something the same as Ivanovka. As soon as Ivanovka falls, the entire Bakhmut and maybe Chasov Yar garrison is going to fall automatically. And the Russians are pushing, and the Ukrainians understand the value of this town, and of course they will do all their best they can do, but not to allow the Russians to take this area. Furthermore, we understand that there is a clashes for this town, but anyway, and the Ukrainians are doing counter-offensive operation always, but anyway, the Ukrainians are in the defense state in this area, and the Russians are in offensive state. And of course, this is the reason why the Russians, according to just the regular logic and according to just the laws of war, they should have heaviest losses than the Ukrainians. Now let's continue with Krimina front line. As we discussed, the Russians have already got the outskirts of Makeyevka, and there used to be very heavy, there were very heavy clashes in this area. The Russians established control over the eastern part of this town, and they're pushing in this direction. If the Russians are able to push the Ukrainians from this side of Zhirebets River to the west side, then they will be able to start movements to the south, and they will take control every single town one by one until they get the outskirts of Yampel, that located right on the north of Seversk. And this is the reason, I believe, why the losses of the Ukrainians on this front line have increased during the previous 24 hours. As we discussed, the Ukrainians lost 125 soldiers. In comparison with the previous day, the Ukrainians yesterday lost just 80 soldiers on this front line, the day before yesterday 90, and 3 days ago 95. So another additional 30-35 losses on this front line from the Ukrainian side tell us about some kind of activation on these movements on this area. We need to analyze the numbers within the next few days and to understand whether there's a real situation about offensive operation, or maybe it just was the lucky day for the Russians, if we can call this like that. Now let's go to the Kupiansk front line. As you can see, there are also a lot of icons in this area. The Russians reported that during the previous 24 hours, as a result of clashes, the Ukrainians lost 60 soldiers, 4 armored vehicles and 3 artillery systems, D-20 and 2 Polish crap, but without any changes in the ground. To tell the truth, I have my own opinion about every single front line, about Kupiansk. I'm telling you about Krimina. I'm telling you that this is the operation to support the Wagnerians around Bakhmut. About Bakhmut, I told you many times about operational posts, about the hills. When talking about Avdiivka, we just discussed today about the possibility of development on the north. About Ugledar, we discussed about the very bloody operation from both sides. I have my own opinion about every single front line. But if you ask me the purposes of even existence of Kupiansk front line, I don't understand. From my side, this is one of the most important area mainly because of railroad, but we don't see any movements in this area at all. And there is just local clashes of the local level, and sometimes very difficult to analyze, to understand, and to believe the numbers that we receive from the Russians and from the Ukrainian sources. But anyway, I believe that this front line just waits for its time. Sooner or later, the time is going to come, and then there are going to be more movements and more clashes. Furthermore, one more time, remind you that the losses of the Ukrainians and the activity around Kherson area, where there are no combat line between parties, are much more higher than in comparison with this area. Now let's go to the South Donetsk area and let's try to analyze the situation in this area. There are still heavy clashes between Mikoyevsk and Ugledar. The Russians, almost every single day, they publish more and more photo and video confirmation, more clashes in this area. I believe that when talking about maps that we have, like where Russian sources, Western sources, many others, I believe that none of them shows the real situation in the vicinity of Ugledar. Something tells me that the Russians control a bigger bridgehead in this area, but we don't have any visual or photo confirmation. We need to just wait for another activation in this area, and then we are going to see more updates and more accurate piece of maps. When talking about Zaporozhye area, there are no changes in this area, just artillery duels between parties. The Russians are saying that as a result of such artillery duels, the Ukrainians lost 40 soldiers to armored vehicles and to artillery system. As you can see, the level of the loss is almost on the same level with the previous days, so I don't know whether the Ukrainians are going to start any counter-offensive operation in this area or not. But the level of loss are saying me that they're not going to do at least this greatest offensive operation even by the end of this week. First, they need to start, they need to spill some blood, they need to get experience only after they are able to do some progress in this area. About Kherson, the same situation, the artillery duels between the banks of the river and pretty effective in Russian favor. The Ukrainians lost another 40 soldiers, two armored vehicles and two artillery systems, one Gvozdika and one M77 howitzer. But we can say without any progress on the ground or on the surface of the river. So as you can see, the situation is critical. And one more time before we continue or before we finish, we need to pay more attention to the Sumy region. We discussed this area a few months, almost every single month we discuss this area, because first we received a lot of piece of information about the artillery duels. Now we see that the Russians using their guided bombs, so they're planning to do something in this area. Of course, if the Russians are able to stretch the Ukrainian forces from Donbas to Sumy, it will give them just the benefits from this operation. But we'll see whether the Russians are planning to do this or not. And that's it for today. Military Summary Channel reminds you to condemn any violence in Ukraine. Thank you for your watching. Subscribe to my channel. Put your likes. Join my Patreon. And have a good day. Bye-bye.